You're listening to Amud Chazer with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we are the Rav left off at the two dots at the top of the Amud, and now we are in a series of Mamarim of Rava Bar Machasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. So we're going to have a whole bunch of them. We already had some, and we're going to have some more. Any city that has roofs that are of houses, roofs of buildings that are higher than the Beis Knesses, the end result is that it's going to be destroyed. That city is going to be destroyed. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "L'romim es Beis Elokeinu l'hamid es Chorvoseinu." Elevates. Right, this is in Ezra talking about the base of Mikdash to lift the base of Elokeinu, which will increase its protection. Rashi says, "Va'yidei kein zachinu l'seis lanu geder b'Yehuda." That if they build up the base of Mikdash extra tall, they're going to have special gedarim in Yehuda, meaning that there's going to be some sort of spiritual protection that comes and prevents a city from being destroyed if the Beis HaMikdash gets its due respect. Therefore, our modern-day Beis Elokeinu, the Beis Medrash, the Beis Knesses, should be higher than other buildings in the community. It's interesting, because according to the Dhimmi laws of Jews living in Islamic countries, I guess the times of the Rishonim, the Acharonim as well. So one of the rules was that the shuls were not allowed to be higher than a mosque. The shuls had to be dafka lower, and that's why you'll find in those areas there are a lot of underground, basement shuls, because it was illegal. Like, the Muslims allowed the Jews to live side by side with a lot of rules of Jews having lower status, and one of them was that the height of the shuls has to be lower than that of the mosque. So, it's a related concept that, it's a concept from the Gemara. From before that there was at least we had a recognition of the height of buildings and the precedence that a shul and base measures would get over other places. So then, Mahani mean leave a button. But this is Dafka houses. Avo Bikesh Kushe, Abrure, but different types of towers and fortresses and things like that are naturally going to be higher. Leish Lanba. That's not a problem, okay? You don't have to have your towers, your watchtowers and your fortresses taller than the local shul. Just talking about houses. Omer Ravashi. Ravashi said, Ana avdi l'masa mechasi d'lo chorva. I'm the one who caused Masim Machasya not to be destroyed, because he suggested it, right? He was the Rosh Yeshiva. He suggested that he enforced somehow. He was at the board meeting and he held his ground and said, "We're not making your houses taller," or he made the shul or the base measures taller, whatever he did. But then the Gemara asks, "The Har Chorva, what are you talking about? Masim Machasya was destroyed." So Meosan Avol Chorva. Yeah, okay, it was destroyed because of other reasons, but it wasn't because of that sin. That negative segula did not take effect here, thanks to Ravashi, and he held it off as long as he could. Better to be subjected to be the servant of a Yishmaeli and not a Nachri. Rashi specifies Edom. Rashi says, Tachas Nachri, Edomim shahi Rishayim Yoser. Back in the day, the Edomim, the Romans, were particularly wicked, more so than our cousins, Yishmael. Therefore, if you had a choice, Yishmael v'lo tachas Nachri. The Lashon of Nachri, I wonder if it's used as part of censorship, most likely from our end, so we wouldn't offend the Romans in whose area we lived. Tachas Nachri v'lo tachas Chavar. If you have a choice, better to be under Nachri than a Chavar. Rashi says it's an Uma Mipnei Aparsiim, some nation within the Persians. So actually, Dr. Henry Abramson on his history on the Daf, Shir, he just spoke about it. These are the Zoroastrians. It was basically a type of religion. They believed in two gods. That they were not polytheistic. They were like dualtheistic. They believed in one all-powerful, not all-powerful, one most very, very powerful god of good and one very, very powerful god of bad. And they didn't believe in any other, you know, other things. But these Chavarim were even more brutal and wicked than Edomim. So better to work for an Edomi than a Chaver. Sorry, not a Chaver, than a Chavar. And Chavar, Tachas, and so, Velo Tachas Chavar, Tachas Chavar, Velo Tachas Tamei Chacham. But better to be a subject to a Chavar and not a Tamei Chacham. What are you talking about? Rashi explains in Yakzinu Yan Yishu, because if you do something wrong, you're going to be punished because of him. And then the next line also in the Gemara, we'll just do that quickly. And Tachas Tamei Chacham, Velo Tachas Yasam Valmana. It's better to work for Tamei Chacham than to work for a Yasam or an Almana. Rashi says, continuing, because their tears are common. Which is what he's trying to say is, you're not supposed to not help Tamei Chachamim and Yosomim and Almanos. Obviously, that's the opposite of basically every other Gemara we learn. What it's saying is that there should be a pressure. If you're dealing with widows, you're dealing with orphans, you're dealing with Tamei Chachamim, less so than widows and orphans, there should be a pressure to be on your absolute best game. Because a widow and orphan are in such a sensitive situation that you have to be very, very careful. They're demasa mitsuya. Their tears are common. You have to be very, very careful. But the Tamei Chacham also, he makbid on about his time, because all his time is greater than money. People say time is money. His time is Torah. And his kavod is important. And it's a bizayon to the Torah if you do anything wrong with him. So it's the stakes are much higher with people like the Tamei Chacham, and even more with the Yason Amana. And be very, very careful. It's better to work for Yishmaeli or a Domi or even a Chavar than one of these people because of the attention you need to give them. Right? You should have any sickness in the world, but not a sickness of the intestines. Then it says, kol ke'ev, you should have any pain, velo ke'ev lev, but not like any ache, but not a heartache. I think it means a literal heartache, like heart trouble. I don't think it means, you know, someone broke your heart. Kol michush velo michush rosh, you should have any, like, head uncomfortable feeling, but not a headache. Kol ra'a, and you should rather take any evil velo isha ra'a. Meaning, if there's one evil that you should try to distance yourself from in the world, say, I'll take anything except for an evil woman, an evil wife. That's the absolute worst thing a person can have. And if someone has a chance to pick his aches or his pains or his suffering, so these are some of the worst of them. Okay. If a person's days were ink, the agamim klumosim, and all the marsh of the world, all the swamps of the world would be quills. The shamayim yirios, and the heavens would be curtains. The kol bnei adam lavlorin, and every single person in the world would be a scribe. Ein maspikin lichtov chalola shel rishus. So this is very poetic. There would not be enough to write down the space, the depth of the government. Rashi says, "Chalashus omek libam," the depth of the minds of the people in the government. Shehut sarach lios lo lev lekama medinos lemas hakatsuv. They need to figure out the different things of international relations and taxes and wars and laws. And it says, Rashi says, "Kol biyom echad," that there's so many pratim, so many details that people in government have to try to balance throughout their days, that you can't possibly write it. If the entire world, if every human on the planet was a scribe, and all the, you know, everything was with ink and quills and paper, we wouldn't be able to write down everything. It's a very very poetic way of describing how complex government. The government minds and plans must be, and you think back then, Kavachomer, now, with, I mean, a little bit different because the bureaucracies that we have and the democracies we have, but it probably could not be more complex than what we currently have. And there's a pasuk that supports it. Ma'akra Amar Rav Masharjia Shemayim LaRom VaEretz LaOmek VaLev Malachim Ein Cheker. There is no discerning the Lev Malachim. Okay. Amar Rav Amar Chasam Amar Rav Chama Bar Gori Amar Rav Yofet Tanis LaChalom KeEish LaNuara LaNaoras. A Tanis is as good to a Chalom as Eish as fire is to like a toe of flax. So meaning that just like if you have flax, a flame will burst it up. So if you have a chalom that you need to get rid of, a tanis is a very effective way of doing so. We discussed this in brachos a little bit. Amar Rav Chizda ubo bayom, but you should do it that day. That day that you had the dream, that morning you woke up, that's the day you should do it. Vamara Rav Yosef afilu b'Shabbos. Rav Yosef says, even on Shabbos, the Tanis Chalom, right? I think we also mentioned this in Gemara Brachos. Gemara Tanis discusses this as well. That even on Shabbos, if it's a very disturbing dream, you don't have to, it's no obligation, but if you're disturbed by the dream, and there's no normal explanation for it. I mean, we learned on Daf Nun Vav and Maseches Brachos that you could implant dreams in someone's mind by talking about it if they experience something traumatic. So that one of those dreams, that's not necessarily a sign. But if without warning, without any explanation, you have a very disturbing dream and it bothers you, you can fast, and even on Shabbos. However, la'alach, you have to fast to atone for fasting on Shabbos. It's interesting. And so now let's see a demonstration of this discussion. Rabbi Yeshua Bereda Ravidi, Ikla Lebeda Rav Ashi. Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Ravidi, went to the house of Rav Ashi. Avdile Igla Tilsa, they brought out a third-born Ega, a third-born calf. Rashi explains that it was particularly tender, the third-born, the first two, calves born are not as good, whatever. So it's a very hush of a calf meal. So they said to him, Litomar Midi, let the master eat something. They saw he wasn't eating. They brought a really fancy dish and he wasn't eating. Amr Lahu, he's pressed. He said, Batanis Yusivna, I'm sitting in a fast and having a fast. Amr Lay, so they said to him, Vlosavar Le Mar Lahod Rav Yehuda Damar Rav Yehuda Lova Adam Taniso Pereya. They said, do you not hold the teaching of Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda is these are last generation Amoraim. Rav Yehuda is the Talmud of Shmuel. And he said that, a person can pay back a fast. He's sitting in a fast and a person can pay back a fast. He can say, okay, never mind, I'm not fasting anymore. And I'll do the fast another time. This is discussed in Maseches Tanis. Lahalacha, it's a machlokas rishonim whether or not you can do that if you specifically said, I'm fasting today. If you said, sometimes people would take upon themselves, I'm going to fast 5 days over the next 2 weeks. So then, if you start fasting, oh wait, that looks like some good igla tilsa. Never mind, take back the fast. I mean, that's okay, but maybe if you say, I'm fasting Tuesday, and then all of a sudden they bring up the igla tilsa on Tuesday, maybe you wouldn't be, but it's machlokas rishonim. But anyway, it must have been under the circumstances, according to whichever Yishonim you choose, that he would have been able to. So Amar Lee says back to him, Tanis Chalomu. It was a Tanis Chalom. Okay, what does that have to do with anything? Tanis Chalomu. V'amar Rav Bar Machasa, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav Yofet Tanis Chalom, but Ke'esh Lenu Ares. V'amar Rav Chista Ubo Bayom. Ah, it should be that day. That's okay. So that's why he didn't want to push it off. He says, no, I know that's some fine-looking Igla Tilsa, but I am going to hold off because I need to fast today. Okay. So we said in the Mishnah that if he began doing one of these activities, we don't stop him to daven, but we do stop him to say Kriya Shema. And then it says at the end, and we don't stop him for tefillah. Okay, we know, we established that, so it's repetitive. So Hatana Le Reisha in Mafsikin. So we said in the Reisha in Mafsikin. Why did you say it again in the Seifa? For tefillah. Seifa son the Divrei Torah. The Seifa's not talking anymore about one of these activities of going to the barber, going to the tannery. The Seifa, it didn't mention it explicitly, but it was talking about a new category of halacha of interrupting Divrei Torah. Detanya, that we learned in the Braisa, Chaverim Shayu Oskin Batorah, Mafsikin L'Kriyashma. Chavirim. We're talking, there are different definitions of the term Chavirim. Often it means people are very careful about Tumah Tahara as opposed to Ame Aretz. Over here it means like top quality Tamidei Chachamim. Right, Torah, right, so we'll see who they are in a moment. Chavirim, shall you oskin b'Torah? Chavirim, if they're involved in Torah, mafsikin l'kriya shma. They stop their Talmud Torah for kriya shma. Ve'ein mafsikin l'tfila. But they don't stop for tfila. So if they're in afternoon seder, they don't break for mincha. They would break for kriya shma at night or in the morning, but they don't break for tfila. These chavirim. And that's what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says that, first it says that if you start one of these activities, you can stop. If you start, then you don't have to stop for mincha. And then we say you have to stop for kriya shma. And then we say after, and you don't have to stop for tefillah. So we're saying, no, by divrei Torah, you don't have to stop for tefillah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela ki gon Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai v'chavei rav. Shetzerosin umunasan. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, this is not for anybody. This is for chaveirim, meaning only people like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his chevra, that their Torah was their umnus. That was their craft. That was their job. They were kolel, but even beyond. They were like super kolel, full-time learning. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela kigon Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai v'chavei rav shetorosin umunasan. So he says that this only applies, that you can get out of davening because you're learning, that only applies, and not kriya shma, right? But you can get out of davening because of learning only if you're Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that the torosin umunasan, that is their full-time. They are super kolel. They barely do anything besides learn Torah, and therefore they are putter from davening, not kriya shma. Rashi goes over here, explains just that kriya shma is deraisa, and tefillah is, even according to the Rishonim that say that tefillah is deraisa, the appointed times of tefillah, of shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, is certainly derabanan. But this only applies to Rav Shimon bar Yochai and his chevra and people like them. Avol kigon anu, says Rabbi Yochanan, but people like us, so like, you know, don't say, oh, what do I mean? No, people like Rabbi Yochanan, masik in the kriya shma ula tefillah, we stop for both. Rashi just clarifies, he says, because the avol anu hol masik in the Torah seno luminoseno, koshikinshinishak la tefillah, right? We stop for our jobs. We all have jobs. We all have day jobs. We all have night jobs, whatever it is. Therefore, we would have to stop for Krishna. V'hatanya, but we learned in the Raisa, Kishem, she'en nafsik in the Tefillah, ka'en nafsik in the Kriyashma. Right, we learned that, right, there's a Raisa that says, just like we don't stop for Tefillah, so too we don't stop for Kriyashma. What are you talking about? So we just said that you do stop for Kriyashma. No, kitani ha'hi be'ibur shana. No, that Bryce is not talking about when you're learning. That's saying when you're being ma'aber the shana, when you're you're adding a month. Dama rava da barava v'chein tanu save dehagronya. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, kishahayinu oskin be'ibur hashana, when we were involved in the ibur hashana, b'yavne, in Yavne, lo hayinu mafsikin lo l'krishma lo l'tfila. Rashi says they would go up to an attic and they would discuss for a long time, and they would, as long as the discussion would need, that's what they would dedicate to it. They didn't break for krishma, they didn't break for tfila, they didn't break for anything. They focused on ibur hashana. It was so critical. And that's what the Bryce is talking about. But the halacha is that even people like Rav Shimon bar Yochai stop for krishma. And the and derabanans, they will like tefillah, they will not. Kenu Mishnah lo yatzah chayit v'machato samach l'chashecha. A tailor does not go out with his macha, with his needle close to mincha. Sorry, close to it getting dark. Why not? Shema yishchach v'yitzeh, because maybe he's going to forget and then he's going to go out. And he's going to carry his needle with him, and that will be a problem carrying in a either from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid or vice versa, or carrying Dalam to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So there is a Gzeira Derabanan not to carry it even close to dark. And similarly, Veloha Lavlar be Kulmuso, and also not a scribe with his quill. He should not do that. Velo Yifle es Kalev, and a person should not remove lice from his clothing. V'lo yikra la'or haner, and he also should not read at the light to the light of a candle. Now we're going to explain why in a moment. The iflas Caleb, the last thing we're going to discuss later. But you shouldn't do this at the light of a candle. Why? Be'emes amru, because the truth is that they said hachazin roa hechantinokos korin avolo yikra kiyotzeba. that the chazan of the who sees where he's allowed to look to see where the children are up to. The chazan was the person like the beadle, the shamish of the shul, and he would see where the tinokos, where the kids were reading from, avahulo yikra, and he's not allowed to read himself. Rashi gives the two different shatim of what he would do. Either he would he wasn't sure what the parsha was, and a Friday night and kids are learning, he would glance over at what they had, what they were up to know what the parsha was, or something. He was trying to teach them, and he wanted to see where they're up to. But the point is that at the light of the candle, it's problematic to. So we want to avoid Chas V'Shalom doing Mavir. There's a Gzeir D'Rabbanan that a person can't read by one of these candles Friday night, one of these oil candles, lest he come to tilt it. But to glance over, that would be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And then say Kayotzibo. Similarly, there's a similar Gzeira,
right.
Conceptually at least. Lo Yochal Hazav Imazava Mipnei Hergel Avera. That a Zav and a Zava should not sit together for a meal, a husband and wife, or a Zav and Zava, because they might come to do an Avera, right? Sitting together, these are normal harchakos of Nida, but also a Zav and a Zava. Rashi says Kavachomer, if it's a Zav, then Kavachomer, someone who's healthy in this regard, that he should not sit with a Zava at a Suda. So it's another Gzair to make sure someone doesn't violate the Suda Raisa Chas V'Shalom. The Gemara begins Tananhas, and we learned there Lo Yamad Adam Birshus HaYachid VeYishte Birshus HaRabim Birshus HaRabim VeYishte Birshus HaYachid. A person should not stand in a Birshus HaYachid, but then lean in and drink in a Birshus HaRabim, and or vice versa. Avlim Hichnis Rosh Avruva LaMakom Shehu Shose Mutter. But if his head and the majority of his body are, let's say he's outside the house, and his head and the majority of the body are inside, or he has his morning coffee and he sticks his head and most of his body outside, then he can drink. He's considered where his body is. V'chein begas, and the same applies in an olive vat, Rashi or press or wine press. Rashi says the common first law. The Gemara is going to explain this later. We'll just ask this next question. Iboy lehu karmelis mai. What's the halacha about a karmelis? Right, we said Rishus Rav and Rishus Yachid, you can't do that. What's the halacha regarding a karmelis? And the Rav will continue tomorrow with the machlokes in what the psak is. Sorry to leave you hanging, but Baruch Hashem, there's no Shabbos between tonight and tomorrow.